My name is Beth Ann Maliner. I was born in 1953. I'm 65 years old. We are in Wilmington, Delaware, and I'm sitting with my partner, who is my mom, and she'll introduce herself.
I'm Barbara Cartwright Vicario. I'm 85 years old, and what else do we want to know about me?
We'll just say that we're going to start the talking about beginning in high school.
Oh, right. I'm starting my narration with my high school years.
So, Mom, talk to me a little bit about, last interview we talked about your school years through about 8th grade.
Seventh and eighth grade.
So now, talk to me a little bit, tell us a little bit about where you went to high school and the kinds of things that happened in high school and where you went to high school.
Right. I'm backing up to the year after we moved to Arcadia from Denver. My parents, because my father had been working in Denver, but moving back to Indiana, he had to start all over again. So he bought a house in Arcadia, and I started to high school there 2 weeks late because we had moved from Denver and we weren't observing a time constraint.
And what was the name of your high school?
My high school was Jackson Central High School. There were 65 students in my class, and they came from the three surrounding communities, Arcadia, Atlanta, and Cicero. And since it was a mix of students that came from those three communities, mm-hmm. it was already a mishmash, so I fit right in.
So it wasn't like there were cliques.
Right, or that they. I was the only one that was new.
Right.
They were kind of
Everybody was sort of new to each other.
I did stand out a little bit because I wore greenhorn rim glasses.
Oh my gosh, and you had red hair.
And that greenhorn rim glasses were not in a rural community.
You mean even then they weren't in?
No.
Oh boy.
No.
Okay.
I was a serious student. I took algebra and 2 years of geometry, and I would have taken chemistry, but the geometry teacher was a farmer, a heavy-duty farmer, and he had humongous hands, and he would put the hand on the board and say angle A, B, C, but he'd be pointing to angle C, B, A. But I love geometry. I took algebra, but I love geometry, and I understood it all, so I could visualize it regardless of
where he was pointing.
And his big hands were pointing. Yeah. But after finishing 2 years of geometry, the next step was chemistry, and I went to the class, and he came in the room. He was going to be the teacher there, and I couldn't handle it. I turned my book in. I decided I knew geometry backwards and forwards, but chemistry was new, and I figured since he had that much trouble communicating with me to visualize stuff.
So does that mean you never took chemistry?
I did not take chemistry.
And you could do that? How did you grab? Did you have to take another science?
Oh, I took five solids every year.
And tell us what a solid is.
Oh, a solid is like English, math, a science. I took biology.
Right. But you didn't have to take chemistry in order to graduate.
No.
Right. And they had drop ad back then, so you could actually turn your book in and say, I'm not taking this?
Right.
I
didn't take one day of class. He walked into the room, and I just took my book to the office.
Okay.
I was never, you know, mamby-pamby about something.
Yeah, right.
I quickly got involved with extracurricular activities. I went to anything that I had time to go to. I went to the mixed chorus and the girls' chorus, and when I was in the girls' chorus, the director asked any of us if we would like to belong to a sextet, and six of us raised our hands, and he gave us some music and sent us off to see what we could do.
So how did you know you could sing?
Oh, I used to sing in church.
Oh.
And, you know, I I love to sing.
So, but you would have been fairly young. I mean,
yes,
if you were singing
yes,
in church.
But I was singing solos.
Oh, even like at 13 or 12?
Yeah, I sang at weddings while I was in high school.
And well, but now you're in high school. I'm saying, how did you know you could sing when you got to high school? So you'd already been doing some singing.
School, I guess school.
Just from school?
Yeah.
And what was your, what do you call that?
Soprano.
Oh, you were
first soprano.
Oh, first soprano.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mixed chorus was boys and girls.
Boys and girls. And then the girls' chorus I belonged to also. Right. But once the sextet got started, we sang all the time. We sang at the fairs, at street parades, at every event at the high school.
Did you arrange your own music?
No, we got music, but from there on it was ours.
Mm.
And we had two first sopranos, two second sopranos, and two altos.
And can you name all the members
of
the sextet?
Oh, yes. Mary Catherine Clifford and I were the first sopranos. Patty Mosbaugh and Patty Cunningham were second sopranos. And Nancy Dunn and...
What was Nancy? Did she sing?
She was alto.
Alto. So it was another alto?
Mm-hmm. The first one was Dottie Teal, but she went to England between her first and second year and died right after she came back. She was visiting England, and she had coronary thrombosis or something on a ship.
She was only like 14.
Yeah.
Oh. So then who took her place?
That I'm trying to think of that other person. Patty Mosbaugh, Nancy. I don't know. Miriam Gunning was the sixth one.
She was the other alto?
No, she was the second soprano.
Oh.
And Patty, one of the Patties was the other alto.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I forgot Miriam Gunning. She also has died already.
Oh, okay.
She died about 10 years ago.
Oh.
She had cancer of the uterus.
Oh, okay. Didn't you remain friends with those girls?
Oh, yes. We stayed friends for a long time.
And did you sing all through high school?
Yes. We sang, and every summer, one summer, I think it was 46 or 47, it was Arcadia's centennial. And my mother made us colonial costumes with bonnets and little aprons, floor length.
Right.
And we rode on a truck bed, and they would stop.
Like in a parade?
In the parade, and they would stop periodically, and we'd sing.
And so what kinds of songs did you sing?
Oh, some folk songs, some pop songs.
Which would have been pop at that time. Like, what kind of a song would have been a pop song?
Oh, my goodness. Now you... That's not fair.
Yeah.
Oh, well, stop it.
So we'll come back to some song titles.
Right. Okay. So while we were doing all that singing... We went to a competition.
Oh.
The sextet went to a competition in Indianapolis.
How old were you?
I would have been in my junior year.
So like 16.
Right. And we got there really early in the day, and we didn't compete until mid to late afternoon. So we went to a movie first in a theater, big theater there, because you don't have any big theaters in Arcadia.
Well, did you have a chaperone?
Yeah.
Somebody must have gone with
My grandmother Thompson
went
with us.
Wow. Did you drive there?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we did.
In a car. That's that would six of you and
probably more than maybe another person besides. I wasn't so concerned about how we got there.
Yeah, right. But I wonder how you all fit in one car.
Yeah.
Because that would have been six of you plus grandma and another adult. I wonder how you got there.
No, I think there were probably more than one cars. But we went. The movie we saw.
Oh,
isn't that
you
funny?
Remember the movie?
I don't remember the song we sang. I do remember the song we sang. But the movie we saw was Snake Bit with Olivia De Havilland.
Oh, right.
And of course, we joked about all the punchlines from there.
Right.
That people were in mental institutions.
Yes, right.
And I have the Hope Diamond.
Yeah.
Well, I have the Hopeless Emerald.
Oh.
You know. Oh. kind of sick, you know.
You mean all the things from the movie? There's a line from the movie?
Oh, yes, from then on.
And you talked about them all the time.
All the punchlines, yes. Yeah. Yes. Then
I wouldn't call those punchlines, actually.
Well,
they weren't really jokes to the people. Punchlines. You made them punchlines.
Then when we sang for the competition, and we sang When Day Is Done. When day is done and shadows fall, I dream of you.
Oh, I don't know that song. Was that a pop song at the time?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's a pop song.
There's a pop song. And after the competition, we did find out how we placed. I don't remember. It wasn't high and it wasn't low. It was somewhere in the middle. Because this was statewide.
Oh.
I began to hemorrhage because I'd had nasal surgery 10 days before, and I wasn't supposed to go to this competition.
Uh-oh.
So I started hemorrhaging, and my grandmother had to drive me to the hospital in Indianapolis. That's where I spent the night, and my roommate was a lady who was suffering from some kind of nervous disorder, and she tore her clothes off and jumped out of bed and was going in and out of the hallway, and I was perspiring like crazy because I thought she was a nut.
Yeah. And nobody stayed with you?
No.
I wonder where your grandmother...
I grabbed the nurse real fast when she went by me, and she said, "That's all right, she's okay, she's just suffering from medicine or something."
Yeah, right.
Stop worrying. I think I stopped worrying.
And so your nose wouldn't stop bleeding? Is that
right,
what happened?
From the surgery.
Yeah, right.
They made the nasal passage wider by chipping the bone.
Yeah, right.
That was it.
That was the exciting competition, spending the night in the hospital.
The sextet was still very busy, and I was singing at weddings and at church. We also had the school, Jackson Central, had a very good basketball team. And in a rural community, your sports events are the activity that whole families can go to.
Right. They're the social event for the evening,
right,
or the weekend.
And as a cheerleader, my senior year, I went to all of them. And my mother made our cheerleader costumes too. Mary Catherine, who was in the sextet,
right?
And Carolyn Hannah, who now lives in Clearview, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Clearwater?
Clearwater.
Is it? I don't know. There might be a Clearview too. I don't know.
Could be Clearwater. The three of us and my mother made us pedal pushers and vest, and they were royal blue. Our school colors were red, white, and blue.
Oh, and then what did you wear under the vest?
White shirts, bow ties, and my Aunt Dot, Grandma Thompson's sister, knitted us white hats to wear.
Oh, and was that your made-up costume, or that's what the girls always wore?
No, that was ours, just strictly ours.
Oh.
That mother designed it. And,
right.
You know,
and she sewed them all, too?
And she made them all.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so tell me how you got involved in cheerleading.
Oh, I belonged to Girls Athletic. I told you I joined everything I could.
Right.
Girls Athletic Association.
Yep.
So we played badminton and, you know, all year round.
Right.
And we decided to go out for it, and we won. And the coach thought we were wonderful. He said we really had the spirit, a terrific spirit, and he knows that the crowds came not just to see his boys, but to be there with the cheerleaders.
So did you cheer for all sports? What did you cheer for?
Oh, yeah, every event that was at the school.
So basketball would have been the
and
big sport.
And football in the fall. Oh, yeah, basketball, we went to tournaments.
Oh.
You played other schools.
Right.
And then you had tournaments, and they were in Noblesville.
Right.
And Sheridan. We had one at Sheridan.
Would those have been the two big sports?
Basketball and football.
And football.
Right.
Did you make your own cheers? Like, where did you get the cheers?
Oh, yes, and we even went to a school when we were beginning of the first year, the junior year. We went to a school and we learned a new cheer, and it was long and involved, but we really liked it. Mm. I don't know if the crowd liked it as much when we got back, but we thought it was wonderful.
And how many of you, how many cheerleaders were there?
Three. Just Mary
Catherine. Just three of you.
Mary Catherine and Bones, Carolyn Hannah and I.
They called her Bones? Uh-huh. Was her nickname?
She was very thin.
Really skinny. did they have a cheerleading squad before you guys created one?
I think there was a pair who, in a casual way,
right,
just got up and got everybody
led
involved.
A cheer or
yeah.
whatever.
One of them's name was Janice Warfel, I remember. But I think before that she was kind of just a member of the crowd and sat on the front bench. Right. But we got out there and did stuff. I mean, you know, did routines and
right.
stuff.
Right. Well, you had to, must have practiced before, right,
yeah.
to do them?
Yeah.
And then you did that your junior year and your senior year? Okay. Funny that you only had three cheerleaders at crowd, but you only had 65 people in your class too.
Well, that was in the beginning. By the time I graduated, there were only 33
in your class.
Uh-huh.
How many people? And was it 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th?
Yeah, and there were 250 kids when I entered.
And then, do you know how many were at the end?
No.
Your class was halved.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you have
a new class coming in.
The freshman year was always.
Bigger.
Guess it's because it was a farming community.
Right.
So a lot of them did not really need the schooling.
Past 16
they
years or
whatever. They went to work on the farm that they were raised on, you know.
Right.
So they took a couple of years and dropped out and stayed on the farm.
Right. What other special activities besides cheerleading and the sextet, what other kinds of things did you join? GAA, you said, Girls Athletic Association.
The Girls Athletic Association. Well, there was initiation each year was really big, and the seniors got to play jokes on the freshmen or have them following.
They
them
called it initiation? Freshman initiation?
Freshman initiation.
Oh.
And I remember I got a real shy boy, and I had to go drive out to his house, in his farmhouse, which was way out of town, and I picked him up to bring him to the school, and his curse was he had to wear a burlap sack that day. And he was such a good soldier that at the end I thanked him a lot, and I welcomed him officially to
right.
freshman year, and I maintained our friendship.
What was his name?
I can't remember.
Oh,
I can't
my gosh.
Remember now.
And did well, except you were a senior, he was a freshman, so you would have graduated and he was left behind.
Yeah.
So you didn't probably see him much after that.
No, but he liked me. He always made sure that I saw him if we were close. He was real sweet.
And then so talk a little bit about your some classes. You talked about how you loved geometry.
Oh, I had biology.
Right.
And a Mrs. Soule had that class.
Spelled how?
S-O-L-E.
Oh.
Like the fish.
Yeah.
And she was all business, and no, I did not cut up the frog.
Oh, you
did. I did not cut up the frog.
Oh.
Uh-uh.
Did you fail the course?
No, I did. I did everything else, but I couldn't kill the frog.
Could you watch while they did it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You just didn't want to do it yourself.
Uh-uh.
Were you the only one?
I don't recall.
Oh. okay, that was biology. What else? Every math class, it sounds like you liked.
I did. I had algebra. The vice principal the principal was the algebra teacher. His name was Mr. Brown. And the geometry teacher's name, by the way, was Mr. Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
With the big hands.
Right. Oh, that was his name.
Yes.
Chemistry and algebra, or chemistry and geometry.
And geometry, yes. I liked geometry the best. It was my favorite. I loved geometry. One of the coaches also taught health and safety.
Right.
And I remember he got a big kick out of teasing me in the class. I don't know why. I guess because redheads blush.
Yeah.
And I remember him putting me on the spot for something, and everybody got a big kick out of the fact that
today he might get charged with harassment.
Right. That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
What about foreign languages?
I took 4 years of Latin. I took Latin every year.
Oh, that was back when you could take Latin in high school. Mm-hmm. They don't do that much anymore.
Well, then you didn't have, I think it was everybody.
That was your
really,
only choice?
Oh, no, they taught Spanish. I think Spanish and French.
And Latin.
And Latin.
And did you like Latin?
Yeah, I did. Hmm. Yeah.
What about, was that back in the time, so now we're talking like 1946?
Well, I was a freshman in 46, so this would have been 48
to 49.
Yeah.
So did they have, that was back in the day when they had some gender-specific classes, right? So they had home economics, they had...
I did have home economics. Mrs. Hyatt was a home economics.
And it was all girls was, in the class, right?
And it was domestic arts.
Oh, that's what they called it?
Yes.
Oh.
And we cooked.
Right.
And we sewed.
Right. Is that where you learned to sew?
Yeah.
Or your grandma, your mom sewed?
No. My mom made almost everything I wore.
Yeah.
You're making it according to Hoyle.
Yes.
With the teacher standing there.
Right.
I made 5 dresses during that school year.
Wow.
And I never wore any of them.
Oh. Because you didn't like them?
No.
They were not good.
No. And you're picking patterns that she okayed that necessarily would have been
look good on you.
You know. I remember having a peplum around the waist on one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was she an older lady?
Well, not really. No. I think she was probably early 50s.
Yes. But that back then, you know, that was definitely, decidedly middle-aged.
Right.
But did they have shop for the boys or whatever they call it?
Oh, yeah.
But girls didn't take that?
No.
No. What about... English. Did you
English. English. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mrs. Norris. I did well in English.
Now, when you're talking about when you're naming a teacher, are these your senior year because those are the ones you remember or just one of the English teachers that you remember from high school?
Right. Well, because the Latin teacher, her name was Mrs. Dunn. She was a cousin to Nancy Dunn.
Oh. And then...
My last year, because I told you I took 5 solids.
Right.
The exams that happened my senior year, I missed getting to her Latin exam test day, final day. And she marked me down because I didn't get there till after. Oh. I just forgot.
It wasn't like you were held up by something.
No, I just forgot.
And was it a test day or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was finals.
And she didn't fail you?
No.
Wow.
No.
You must have been a good student.
I would have gotten an A, so she gave me a B.
Oh. Did you think that was fair or unfair?
Oh, yeah. No, I thought I deserved it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's talk about some more of the kinds of activities that you involved in. Did you do anything after school or weekends or?
Well, of course, the girls on the sextet ran around together all the time.
Oh, so you were socially friendly too.
We would plop in a car and go to Tipton, which was, my goodness, maybe 10 miles away.
Wow.
To the bowling alley.
Oh.
And have a Coke. We didn't bowl.
Oh.
We'd just have a Coke and say hi to everybody who was there. That was when Joyce, who was the piano player, when we were ever someplace where we wanted the piano with us.
Oh.
And that's where Joyce piled out of the car. And she got out first. And when I got out, I stepped on her foot. And she was a very... can I say? She was very ego kind of, I don't know. She considered herself pretty much beautiful and, you know, God's gift.
Yeah.
And she bragged a lot about her little toes, her little feet. And when I got out and stepped on her feet, I told her, and within everybody's earshot, Joyce, your feet are so small, I really didn't see them.
And she thought that was wonderful, probably.
She thought it was wonderful.
Right. But she didn't really get that the joke was on her, probably.
No.
Mm-mm,
no.
And what was her name? Joyce what?
Joyce Melling.
Melling.
Her brother, she had 4 brothers. her oldest brother married the typing teacher.
Oh.
And I sang at their wedding.
Oh. So you sang also solos for things?
Uh-huh. Oh. Oh, yeah. I sang solos at church and solos at weddings.
Right. So what else besides the sextet socially?
Oh, well, talking about the typing, that was another one of the classes
I
took.
Oh, right.
That was fun.
And you took that, but that would have been
and
earlier?
And that was where you go cluck, 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 click.
Oh, right.
Cluck,
when
cluck,
you
cluck, 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 and you return the
carriage. The
carriage.
Yeah, that is an old machine.
During that time, the Masonic group, you
which
had
your,
to have... You
your
had
dad belonged
my dad
to, was a Mason.
To Scottish Rite.
Right.
And you had to have a relative that was in the Masons. And they started what they called a UD Bethel, which is you're on probation for like a year or something. Then they appointed all the people to serve the staff, the officers. And I was the honored queen, and Nancy and Patty Mosball were the princesses on either side of me.
And was that an elected position or a chosen?
No, because it was a new one, I think everybody was chosen.
Oh, by the Masons themselves?
I don't remember her name either. But I think she was a member of the Eastern Star.
Because Masons are all men, right?
Right.
So the Eastern Star is connected to the women's
it's
side?
It's the auxiliary.
And they were new also? That was new?
No.
Oh, they weren't?
Just the Job's Daughters. They thought we should have a Job's Daughter group in that town. In Arcadia,
right,
which was still considered the two, Cicero and Atlanta, they were always considered at the same time.
You mean together?
Right. So people were chosen from all three communities to belong to that, because there were like 10 or 15 other people in the Job's Daughters who were not officers.
And was the Job's Daughters a service organization?
It was it was also religious.
So it was, what church was it connected to?
We had books. Oh, not a church.
Oh, not a
church. No
church.
I think the Masons are kind of a religious group too, but they don't belong to a church.
Yeah, I don't know really
much about
them.
Maybe way, way, way back it was the Illuminati.
Yeah, no, probably not. Because they say Scottish Rite Cathedral, right?
Right.
When they talk about it, but they're not a particular sect. It's not Presbyterian or Episcopalian.
It's almost like the Shriners.
Yeah.
They do they support financially worthy organizations in the community.
Right. So did you do service, community service, or what did you do?
No. Not that first year, and of course I graduated, and
oh, that's when
I
you were a senior,
on. Right?
Oh,
there's a picture in the picture box where I'm at a big organizational meeting, and we're all in floor-length gowns,
right? And a robe. You have a robe on with an ermine trim.
Oh, that's the official meeting of the Job's Daughters.
Oh,
I wanted my grandmother to come and visit. But that was when she was in that agoraphobic stage.
Oh, and she wouldn't leave the house.
And she would not come. Aww. But I wanted her to come and see me, but she didn't want to.
But it probably, did you get pictures? I mean, could she see pictures back then?
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. And I also wanted to tell you, when I was going to the high school, by going from the school to the Allman's house, I took my lunch and we went there every day, and whoever wanted to take their lunch and come with me, we all came to Grandma and Grandpa's for lunch.
Right.
Because we cut across yards and it was only like four blocks.
Right.
And so they always had something going on at lunch there, and which they looked forward to.
Yeah, right. And that was after Grandpa, he wasn't in the grocery store anymore.
No, that's when he was the supervisor at Firestone.
Oh.
His job, when he sold the grocery store and moved to Arcadia, he became a supervisor at Firestone.
Do you know, like Firestone Tires, you mean?
Yeah, in Noblesville.
Oh, so there was a manufacturing plant there?
There was.
And he was a supervisor there. But that was when Grandma wouldn't leave the house.
Right, so he left every day at like 11:30, and she and I would have dinner together.
Oh.
And we
He wouldn't come back till later?
Yeah, because he wouldn't come home till like 11:30 or you know, whenever. And so she and I would have ribs.
That she made?
Yeah, we ate well. Oh. We picked out things that we wanted to eat.
Right. And
one time I said I wondered what a whipped cream pie would taste like.
Right.
And she said, well, we'll find out. And she baked a pie crust, and we put the whipped cream in it and flavored it with vanilla and sugar and froze it.
You could have been a way ahead of your time.
Yeah.
Somebody might like to do that now.
Yeah. That was fun. She went along with anything.
Yeah.
You know, she, yeah.
As long as it was inside of her house.
Right.
And so at that time, were you spending the night at your own house?
When I went on dates.
Right.
I would have them drop me off at Grandma and Grandpa's because they never told what time I got back.
Oh.
If I'd been dropped off at home, right. Mother would have known.
Right.
And she would say, well, we don't do that. You know,
right.
But Grandma never told anybody.
Right. Well, when did you start dating? Were you in?
No, probably late in my sophomore year.
So not till you were like almost 16, like 15 or 16.
Right. I remember that it was in my sophomore year that my brother had bulbar polio.
Oh, and he would have been how old?
He was 19 months younger than I was.
So he was
13? Uh-huh.
When he caught it.
And I was, because they didn't know that much about polio, I was quarantined.
Right.
Until at least 2 weeks. And at that point, I think I was dating John Carson. And he wrote me a letter while I was in quarantine.
And in quarantine meant you stayed with Grandma and Grandpa?
Yeah, I stayed with Grandma and Grandpa because my mother worked at a grocery store in Cicero.
Oh.
And Daddy went to Indianapolis because he had started a business with IBM equipment.
Oh, right.
And he was going to Indianapolis every day. And I lost my train of thought. And John wrote me a letter telling me a little newsy thing telling me what was going on at school. And then he said, and I got the mumps. So I'm actually quarantined too. And years later, when he married, they couldn't have any children.
Oh, because he had the
mumps.
They
adopted two little girls.
Right. And his name is John Carson?
John Carson.
Right. And then so for 2 weeks you stayed at Grandma and Grandpa's.
Uh-huh.
But then Donald...
He went to Indianapolis to Riley Hospital, and he had bulbar polio, which is encephalitis and polio.
Together.
He had the lung part, but he did not have to go into the iron lung.
Oh.
If you had it very seriously, you went in. And for years after that, his exercise was him lying on the floor and mother holding his head down, and he had to raise his head because it affected all the muscles in his neck.
Oh.
So she exercised him to develop those muscles.
Like he was pressing against her hand,
right.
Like trying to raise his
right.
head.
And that was right. how she got the...
But we know later that his whole life he kept that swallowing thing where he would swallow and sort of turn his head
turn
to
his
the
head
right
just, uh-huh.
or one direction or the other
mm-hmm.
when he swallowed. But was he ill in bed? He must have been ill in bed for some period of time.
Not long.
Oh, not long.
No, as soon as his... Soon as it was the muscles, so as I don't know if they if he I don't think he was gone, maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks.
But he was out of school.
But he oh yeah.
Because you weren't allowed to be around people who had that, right? They didn't know how it was transmitted,
right.
maybe or whatever. And you never had any. You didn't have any polio.
No, there was another little boy in the country. And I don't know whether he was in the country from Arcadia. His name was Frankie Treach, and he had it also. Mm. We don't know what they had in common because they didn't connect before that.
And they were the only two that
and
you knew of in that
area?
Oh, so
area.
Just two of them. Huh. So then, okay, so go back to, we were talking about what you were doing during high school other than...
Oh, I can tell you a story about Patty Mosbaugh.
Oh, okay.
The superintendent of schools lived across the street from the high school and had a big picture window in the front of the house, but it was raised up. And the sextet, I don't think all of us, maybe four or five of us, went to carol in the wintertime. The snow was on the ground, and we were caroling outside of his house, and we had to sing louder and louder, but they weren't hearing us.
How do you know they weren't hearing you?
Because nobody came to the window.
Oh, so you kept singing louder to get their attention?
So we're getting louder and louder, and finally, Patty Mosbaugh, who had a very weak bladder, started to laugh. And we had to run from where we were standing in front of the house down to where the street light was on the street. And she ran down the hill and fell on the street under the street light and wet her pants.
And did you ever see the superintendent? Did he ever come out?
Oh, no, we wouldn't have. We might have, but I don't remember seeing him.
Well,
they don't know what they missed.
Yeah, right. Well, and I guess you guys were good enough friends that probably everybody was laughing, actually. Right. Bringing up to your senior year, what do you remember about, for instance, the time at graduation? What do you remember the graduation?
I don't think it was a big thing.
Because there were only 35 of you.
No, 33.
Right.
It was a nice program, and I think the boy who was on the basketball team, who Mary Catherine, the other cheerleader, married, was the valedictorian. Mm. And they later got married.
Oh. Did you have she was the valedictorian?
He was
Paul
Walls, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he was on the basketball team. I dated a member of the basketball team. Well, I dated John Carson too. But I dated Bobby Plan.
I remember that name.
More than anyone else. I did date several different guys. I dated Bob Baduner, who later turned out to be either an associate editor or something on the Noblesville Ledger.
Oh, on the newspaper.
He was a
journalist.
But he sent me a card that said, after a date, that said, you'd been just like a mother to me, making a sarcastic remark that as a date,
yeah,
I was Miss Goody Two Shoes.
Oh. Did you? I guess you don't still have that card. That would have been fun to see. Well, but it sounds like, in general, high school was fabulous. I mean,
we ran around. Barbara Etchison, who was 2 years ahead of Nancy, 1 year ahead of me, and she had a car. So she's the one who drove us to Tipton, or who drove us to Noblesville.
Transportation everywhere.
Yeah, right.
How did you have money to, like, buy a Coke at the bowling
alley? Well, in the summertime, I worked in the library for, I think it was $10 a week.
Which library?
In Arcadia. Huh? It was a one-room thing.
Yeah.
And I worked, like, 4 or 5 hours a day in
for
the summer.
For $10 a week?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I babysat for Velma Carell and Jim Carell.
Oh, right.
Nancy and David Carell.
Right.
I babysat for them. Their mother said... they like to fight. When she would leave me with the kids, she said they like to fight, and they can fight as long as they smile. As long as they're smiling,
right,
they can fight. And they used to have that grin on their face, and they'd be beating each other up.
Did you keep track of them? I know you kept track of Jim and Velma.
I did for a long time. Jim ended up working at Chrysler, and he worked on the car where you can slam it into reverse real quick. He worked on that ability that they were developing in the Chrysler car. He got a big kick out of it. So
he was telling you all about it.
He also was in the service. The money I made babysitting is how I bought my tourney tickets when we would go to the tourneys, because they were like $2.50.
You're talking about basketball tournaments?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you had to pay to go to those.
Well, even if you're a cheerleader.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
You had to have your tourney ticket.
Yeah.
Even to get in.
Right. So, but you, it doesn't sound like you, I mean, you made your own money. So yeah. You, the library and babysitting.
And babysitting.
And is that pretty much what the other girls did too in the sextet?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Patty Mosebaugh lived on a farm. Her dad, Ward Mosebaugh, was a big farmer. He had a really big farm. I don't know if she had responsibilities on the farm or what, but she didn't get to come in town as much as Patty Cunningham lived in town. Nancy lived in town. Mary Catherine lived in Cicero, but in town.
And did all of the sextet graduate?
Yes.
They all graduated from high school.
Yeah, but not at the same time. Nancy, Patty Cunningham, Patty Mosebaugh were in a grade behind us. And Mary Catherine and Miriam and I were in the...
A year ahead.
The same, yeah.
In the same grade. Well, that's a pretty extensive story about high school.
That was a fun period of my life. I can't think of another time I've had more fun than there. I mean, what better place than to be in a rural community where there's fewer people and you're not in a metropolitan area, mm-hmm. so it's just farmers and
right. You know everybody. Everybody knows you.
On Saturday night, everybody came into town and they showed movies on the side of the buildings in the summertime. And I remember Carolyn Hanna's big brother had a little boy. And what was his name? I can't remember his name. But evidently he acted up at the watching the movie. At Timmy, his name was Timmy. Mm. And his daddy said, you really liked going to the movie, didn't you, Timmy? Timmy said, yeah, Dad. And he said, you really would like to go back to the movie again, wouldn't you? Yeah, yeah, Dad. And he said, do you know how many more times you're going to get to go back to the movie? And he said, no, no, Dad. And Dad held up a zero in his fingers. And I was there watching that, and I'm thinking, oh, how can you tease
That's so
him
mean.
Like that? But I don't think Timmy acted up anymore.
And is that, wait, you were, what was the, you were closest to Arcadia.
Yeah, I lived
but
in Tipton Arcadia.
But Tipton and Cicero were also fairly close.
Uh-huh.
So did you go to all those, did you go to each of those towns to do different things?
Well, my friends lived, Mary Catherine lived right. in Cicero.
So you spent some time there.
I didn't know too many people in Atlanta. Most of the people I knew in Arcadia. And you walked everywhere.
Except somebody had a car.
Well, that's right. But that was when we were walking out of town. I mean, that
right.
was when
to
we
another
were going.
Town.
Yeah, right.
Right. All right. Well, thank you for being my interview partner.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
And we'll pick this up later.
Okay.